Hello and welcome to another episode of Point to Point. It is the show where I am driving from one place to another, and I have to get to the point. And it's been five episodes now, so maybe start your tally soon. Let's see. Today's point, I honestly don't have one. It's a Monday morning. So the news has obviously been slow. I checked my European outlets to see if news has hit Europe before it has hit the United States, and no, not really. So I feel like we can have kind of like a free form chit chat today. I think something that I want to loop back to that we kind of talked a little bit about last week with kind of the first episode about PAX and independent outlets and stuff. There was a article in the Game Developer, which is maybe former Gamasutra. I truly cannot remember the name changes. But Game Developer is typically a site that focuses on like game specific, like game development specific stuff. So about the industry at large, and kind of I've enjoyed some articles about like narrative design in there, and it's much more focused on, it's focused for people making games. It's kind of like a trade publication in that kind of way. But there is an article in there that I read probably mid last week about the deprofessionalization of games media and the game industry at large. And the very, very broad stroke gist of it that you'll have to give me a little bit of grace because, as you know, the point of the show is that I am currently driving, so I have no notes. But the general gist of the article was that there's this shift in the games being published, and specifically the author was pointing out at PAX East that there's this shift in game development that is focusing on kind of like the solo dev or like one to three person team. And the idea is that that is like deprofessional, that it is, we're moving in this way where the labor being done in the games industry, and you'll see it with independent games outlets as well, is being shifted towards these small groups of people who may not be supported by like large corporate structures. They don't have professional things like, we're using professional, and maybe we'll get this out of the way now. I don't think that because you don't have a corporate parent or an HR department or a CEO that you are not professional. You are working in the industry. You are doing professional work. You are hoping to sell that thing for money. Like you are participating in the mechanics of capitalism. Like that is a professional outfit. Like even if you are a solo dev, that is professional. So we'll just use the term the article and the main person they're referring to coined and uses. But just to get that out of the way, I think that it's like using professional as some sort of like badge to slap yourself with to explain that you're the real deal versus just some person in their basement making a video game. I think that that's, I don't know, like that's not great. But the idea is that because these small groups of game developers or, games journalists or media figures, they're all small and independent, and the shift of work in the industry has moved towards that. So you have a lot more, we have a lot of games going up on Steam. A lot of those games going up on Steam are made by one to three person teams. And there's fewer and fewer games just because of the layoffs in the past like 3 years now that have reduced the amount of quote unquote professional big studio games being made and big studio teams working on those games. And I think that generally that is like that bears out in the data, right? Like that feels right, that looks right. We can kind of see that happening. But over the weekend, there was an interesting post on Blue Sky, and you'll have to forgive me, I cannot remember the username off the top of my head. I shared it on my Blue Sky account, so you can find that on at phil.70%complete.com on Blue Sky. But the thing that they posted, which I think makes even more sense, is that if you look at what's happening with like all of these games hitting Steam, that it's not an accident that this is what's happening. Like we can kind of pontificate about the loss of the professional work environment and the professional structures in games at large, but ultimately this was kind of the end result of where we were going. As more of these companies, like big companies, begin to push this work off onto independent people and onto like smaller and smaller groups of people, there's this general movement where, well, shit, I could just do this for myself. Why am I doing it for someone else instead? Like, and as the teams shrink, the work environment gets worse. You know, you have a bunch of the prominent new games coming out from people who are, you know, former XYZ studios. And I think a lot of it just stems from, you know, if I'm working through this shitty environment, why am I not just doing it for myself where it can be slightly less shitty? The incentive structures are different, and, you know, I don't need to sell 5 million copies of this game or, you know, be labeled as a failure or didn't meet expectations. And I think it makes a lot of sense. Like, yeah, of course. Like the way to find success is like a small independent group. I think, you know, you start to have to do the calculus between like I've kind of been thinking about this as well as kind of like this project itself, like the 70% complete project, as, you know, you're kind of hoping to hit the lottery. And it's like a probability thing where, you know, and who knows if this actually holds true. But the idea is that, you know, the more content we put out, the more good stuff that we feel good about, the more stuff that is like quintessentially us, that, you know, is stuff that we enjoy doing, that like hopefully at least that enthusiasm is like enticing to other people. And, you know, the general sentiment of, well, I like doing this thing. There's 8.5 billion people on this planet. There's probably a good chance that there's at least 1,500 other people who like this thing. And I think that can somewhat hold true in games. I think you still have, you know, as much as we like to talk about like how nice it is that independent devs are out there doing things, this Blue Sky post about kind of how deprofessionalization is like the obvious outcome of what games have been doing for the past 10 years. It also is kind of illuminating because as much as we gamers like to grumble about having to switch stores from the Steam store to the Epic store to the Ubisoft store to the EA store, like all of these different forums for purchasing games, it also means that Steam has a stranglehold on what you see. So the chance of you finding whatever that next big game is, or what your next big game is, right? Because, you know, there are hundreds of thousands of games going up on Steam every year now. Like, it becomes more and more difficult because it, once again, like Steam is driven somewhat by an algorithm. And that algorithm, you know, specifically your discovery queue, is based on data that you see. So you either find what is, you know, trending, what you are able to find in screenshots on social media as like something cool, or you have, you know, a couple of people who are covering games that you think, you know, fit your taste, and then you're able to find it. But that's kind of the lottery aspect of this, is that ultimately, like, games media and so much of games itself is just based on algorithmic kind of display of what you can see and what you can find. And I think that, you know, Blue Sky has a little bit of an edge on that, in that, you know, you can it's easier to find things, that Blue Sky is not downranking things with links, and it's not kind of like it has no inherent kind of like ranking to that kind of way that something like Twitter did previously. But it still makes it difficult to go out and find something. And ultimately, a lot of this comes down to tastemakers who are combing through the thousands of games that are coming out and saying, hey, I think this one's good. And, maybe sure, like a good chunk of those are H games. A good chunk of them are like my first platformer that's just Mario 1-1, but with like Castlevania assets. And like, I think that's all fine. But we're kind of getting to this point where it's almost impossible to find the good stuff. And you have some folks out there who are really doing a good job, but there's only, as games media dwindles, there's only so many people who are able to go out and spend the time to curate and find a list. And then, you have the secondary level of that, which is, well, how do I find the people who are making the list? So I think, we talk about this deprofessionalization and this idea that, all of this work is being pushed onto 1 to 3 person small teams. And, it's pretty easy to realize that making a game is really, really hard. And which one of your 1 to 3 devs that is, even if you broke it up as this is their only job, you have a developer who is coding, you have an art person, and you have a marketing person, like you have a business person. But that's not how these work, right? Like everyone does those things. And then you look at, other big indie titles, and I think maybe the big one that is on top of mind right now is Clair Obscur, right? Like there's this narrative that has evolved over the past 2 weeks about like, oh, look, like they found their musician on SoundCloud. They're all a bunch of disgruntled Ubisoft former employees who just wanted to make their own thing. And as the stories have come out, that is actually not exactly what has happened. There's like two people there who used to work at Ubisoft and they just wanted to make their own game. They are a small team of 30-ish people, but also they hired a shitload of contractors to make that game because of course you have to. And now we're back to more of this notion of deprofessionalization. And now we're talking more about what's also happening in the games media with freelancers. And you have all of these people who formerly used to work in this industry. You have a ton of them. And as studios lay people off, as studios shut down, as outlets shut down or get purchased and then laid off, you have this growing pool of talent that has nowhere to go. And you have the kind of like roving band of Ronins, I guess, who are always going to be freelancers that, either like working that way, it makes sense for them, they enjoy bouncing from project to project, or you have journalists who are kind of a little bit more, catering to what they want to do and then pitching that work to find somewhere to put it. But the budgets are dwindling, right? Like on the games media side, everyone is shortening and bringing down their freelance budgets, which is, causing a problem because now more than ever, right? There are more games journalists who don't have work and are looking for that work, whether it's pitching or freelance positions. And then in the games side, you have more and more employees, and you have like more places that are willing to take on some amount of contract work. But, the amount of contractors that will probably be used on a new Gears of War game is not the same as, the Haunted Chocolatier or whatever, right? Like all of these indie projects that are, popping up, if they have budget for contract work, it'll be, here's three positions. Like I need you to hop in here and do art for this. Like you, singular person, I would like you to do the art for this. Because all of these tiny 1 to 3 person teams, they don't have budget for that. And they barely have budget to do marketing. And they're relying on the algorithm to pay back all of the stuff that they're doing, and to like do a reasonable, it's a push and pull, like to do a reasonable job of like, here's an exciting, innovative gameplay loop or like an interesting art style and like a cool game. You have to spend the money to do that or have the raw talent. And to have the raw talent, you have to also spend the money to actually do that. because, as the saying goes, time is money, right? And that means that if you're going to do kick-ass artwork, you need to have the money to spend the time to do that artwork. And you kind of see that on the game side. And like to get like very personal about it, like that's kind of one of the things with 70% complete right now. Like we are the way that we are structuring the work that we put out, like we're shifting, I guess, you'll find out this week actually, we're shifting what Codex was, like the former podcast, the Casual Lore podcast has been rebranded and we've kind of changed everything up. And that is 100% because of this idea of that, like, time is money and we have so many ideas for fun things that we want to do that, we think a lot of other people are going to like. But if we continue to stick kind of slavishly to the concept of this is a casual lore podcast and we put it out every week, that means that, of the, we'll say, 4 to 5 hours we have to work on this thing every week, we just don't have time to do other fun stuff. So we have to change the way we think about the business and think about the site in order to what we think will, ultimately grow the audience and kind of build something that is worth doing. But we have to be much more precise and aggressive about the thing that we decide to do because, we don't have the time. Like both Logan and I are like full-time employees at our jobs. So we have less and less time to do this. And I think that that cliff is what's happening in games media. It's happening in games. And I think it's just, this is the typical artist problem as well. Like you have a lot of people who have great ideas and want to do cool things, and they simply don't have the time to do it because their time is split between doing work, doing life stuff, and doing family stuff, and somehow managing to get 6 hours of sleep in there. And that's not sustainable. Like you can't try to burn the midnight oil on this stuff and then be able to come out the other side with more time because now you've just kind of put yourself in a pickle. And I think that that's kind of just to bring this all back together. Like that is the deprofessionalization. Like ultimately, I think when we're talking about these bands of folks out there making games or making websites or making content online, making videos, streaming a couple nights a week, like these people do not have HR departments. They don't have marketing directors. They barely have people who know how a website works sometimes. And that's simply because they're doing the thing that they want to do. And I think that back to the original point that like, this deprofessional notion as like, hey, you're not a real company. I think it's bullshit. Like, I think that where this is going, like where the economy is, like how fucked everything is right now, like we kind of have to do this. And in order for whatever actually comes next to take off and work, like there needs to be people who are taking small risks, but risks nonetheless, to put out their vision of what comes next. And that can be people like Local Thunk who are making really cool games, but they're also showing that, it is hitting the lottery. Like, not everyone's going to have a Balatro. Not everyone's going to have like the perfect storm of events that allowed Balatro to be the thing that it is. But I think we need to continue doing this because it's been very clear over the past several years, like especially after, pandemic profits are starting to drop, that if these companies are not going to support this industry in this way, if corporate interests are as fickle as we all kind of know them to be, this isn't going to work. And the only way that this works is if, people step up and like people start making the things that they want to see. And, I don't know where that leaves us. I think it means that, this space and probably a lot of other similar industries will become less quote unquote professional in that way. But in the hopes maybe that one of these becomes the next thing, and one of these things becomes the next thing that can make it professional. And hopefully that is a new kind of professional, not being purchased by a media conglomerate. But I don't know. We'll see. It's kind of a weird space to be, but I'm still somewhat hopeful for it. But I am here. I have made it to the train station. So thanks for joining me on this drive today. If you like the show, leave a review or share it with a friend. You can read our blog posts and reviews and stuff on 70% complete, and you can find links to our YouTube and Twitch on the site. There's like video essays, some stream VODs, and game playthroughs on the YouTube. But yeah, lots of fun stuff to read and to watch. This has been another fine 70% complete production. We'll see you tomorrow. All right, peace.